Our next case is Deep Green Wireless versus UMA, Inc., 2019-15-70.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Mr. DiVincenzo.
Good morning, Your Honors. In this action below, the board erred in construing incoming voice signal in the context of a telephone system such that it could encompass a signal that begins on a local device and is sent outgoing towards a network. With respect to claim under the proper construction, the board's finding of obviousness cannot stand. There's no dispute here that the field of invention is telephone systems. An incoming voice signal is not a particularly technical phrase. The common sense meaning of an incoming voice signal is a signal originating at a network and coming to a local device. That's what the term means. The specification repeatedly and consistently uses the term according to its ordinary meaning.
I guess where this term incoming shows up in your claim is in the discrimination circuit limitation, where it talks about incoming voice signals.
Yes.
So as I understand it, the board said, well, this means incoming to the discrimination circuit. There are voice signals incoming to the discrimination circuit that the discrimination circuit detects. And that's based on the plain language of that limitation, agnostic as to whether those voice signals are coming from the network or it's coming from anywhere else. All that matters is that we're talking about voice signals that are coming into the discrimination circuit, that the discrimination circuit will then detect and then do some discrimination act. So why is that unreasonable, just based on looking at the language of the claim itself?
Under this court's precedent, we don't just look at the language of the claim itself. And incoming and outgoing are both used throughout the specification. And they're used to differentiate between signals originating from the network and signals that are intended to go towards the network. It's not broadest possible construction. It's broadest reasonable construction. And when you have a common sense understanding of a non-technical term like incoming voice signal, and that term is used repeatedly in the specification, only in the manner consistent with its ordinary meaning, and the converse term, outgoing, is only used to describe signals intended for the network. In that situation, a construction that says incoming means incoming to the discrimination circuit, we submit would be unreasonable. If we look at the claim and how it's structured, the claim is structured consistent with the specification. It starts with an apparatus for routing digital data signals. The first limitation is a network interface, a component for interfacing with the network that must receive digital data signals, and those signals must comprise at least one voice signal. The next limitation is the discrimination circuit. It's connected to the network interface. It must detect incoming voice signals from among other signals. Now, the broadest reasonable construction of incoming voice signal, as it appears in that claim, in that order, is consistent with the spec. It's consistent with the ordinary understanding of what an incoming voice signal is. The board's analysis focused solely on the meaning of incoming voice signal with respect to the limitation. The board never analyzed it with respect to the claim as a whole. And the board never analyzed it with respect to the specification. Indeed, with respect to discrimination circuit, the provisional application puts it in plain English. It explains that for incoming telephone calls, which we all agree are voice signals, the discrimination circuit will route the telephone line based on the type of call. What's being routed is the incoming call. It doesn't become an outgoing call just because it's left the discrimination circuit.
You were referring to the provisional, right?
Yes.
So there's some content in the provisional that's not in the actual written description of this patent?
It is in the written description as well in the description of the discrimination circuit. The discrimination circuit on column 5, lines 7 through 19, also refers to the routing of an above incoming call. It's just put in plainer English, I'd say, in the provisional.
Okay.
And it's line 5.
I'm just trying to understand the nature of the relationship between the two specs. Something happened, there was a little bit of adjustment?
Yeah, there was a little bit of adjustment,
okay. Claim,
like, which is it's fairly common. There's no in hoc verba support, but it's there. And the for the description in the specification, it's column 5, lines 7 to 9, and it says, optionally, the invention can be fitted with a discrimination circuit that can detect the type of call and automatically route the communication line to the corresponding DO, which is the various incoming devices on the incoming side. And then two sentences later, it refers to an embodiment of the invention. The same devices may be available to handle the above incoming call. So it's referring to an incoming call being handled by the devices. UMA argues that no, when a signal leaves the detection circuit, now it's an outgoing call or an outgoing signal. The specification and no intrinsic evidence ever refers to incoming or outgoing with respect to the actual discrimination circuit. In fact, the argument that the discrimination circuit discriminates signals as they are incoming into the circuit and doesn't discriminate signals when they are outgoing from the circuit, logically doesn't really follow. How could the discrimination circuit discriminate signals as they are exiting? No such circuit's described anywhere in the specification. And the importance of the claim construction decision is that there's no substantial evidence under the proper construction of incoming. The board did make an alternative finding under the construction proposed by Deep Green. There, the board said, we find that Gernert, which is the primary reference, teaches or suggests processing of traffic in each direction and discrimination between voice and data packets in both the incoming and outgoing direction. The only support the board relied on for that alternative finding was the deposition testimony of Deep Green's expert, Dr. Zavatsky. That testimony says absolutely nothing about discrimination between voice and data. But
Gernert itself, at column 11, expressly talks about putting a flag in the header so you can identify voice data signals and separate those out from other data signals, right?
You are correct, Your Honor, but the board
did
not...
And the point is that is to have more efficient end-to-end transmission of these phone data signals, isn't it?
That's exactly correct, but there's two problems with that. One, the board did not rely on it for its alternative finding under the correct construction on page 24, and it's with good reason. When you're discriminating for end-to-end communication, you put the discrimination circuit in the beginning while it's outgoing, not at the end where it's going to be incoming again. There is no expert testimony that supports placing the discrimination circuit on the incoming side. The only expert testimony is the testimony of UMA's expert BIMS on A941 and to 942. That is not sufficient testimony that could even support a remand in this case. It's a list of 6 potential benefits. Under the active video case, merely conclusorily stating benefits without specifically tying them to the references is not sufficient. And on A941 and A942, that's exactly what the testimony here does. And other than the flags, there's no other evidence in the record. So that's why we respectfully request not just a remand, but a reversal in this case. There is simply no evidence that could support a motivation to combine in the proper direction. And unless the court has further questions.
We will save your time.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Morgan.
May it please the court, my name is Jeffrey Morgan and I represent UMA in this matter. Your Honors, Deep Green's entire appeal depends upon getting its construction of the term incoming to mean incoming from the network instead of what the board applied, which was the plain and ordinary meaning, which means incoming to the discrimination circuit. This term incoming in Representative Claim 35 only applies in this particular limitation, which reads that that a discrimination circuit connected to the network interface for detecting incoming voice signals from among other digital data signals. The claim limitation itself makes clear that what we are talking about is incoming to the discrimination circuit. If this court decides that the board's...
Why wouldn't you read it as incoming from the network interface when you look at the claim structure overall?
The board examined that very question, Judge Chen, and determined that it didn't have to do that. The claims, the name of the game is the claim, and the claim doesn't require that the signal that is incoming to the discrimination circuit be coming from anywhere in particular. It certainly could be coming from the network, but it doesn't necessarily have to come to the network, and I suppose that's an important point for the court to consider here.
What doesn't necessarily have to come from the network, even though the claim language says a discrimination circuit connected to the network interface for detecting incoming voice signals. So it's not just telling you that the signal is incoming to the discrimination circuit, but it's telling you that the discrimination circuit itself is connected to the network for detecting. So isn't it detecting the signal coming from the network?
Judge Moore, in our view, and I think in the view of the board, that's certainly a logical and reasonable interpretation, but it's not a required one. What the board determined, and...
You learned. You listened to the last argument, you learned. Don't tell the judge what she says is unreasonable. Just tell her, that's not the standard. Go ahead.
Hopefully I can be taught. The board took a look at this issue as well because Deep Green raised it below, and Deep Green is saying, well, if signals are coming into the system from the network interface, and if the discrimination circuit is connected to the network interface, therefore it must be coming from the network. Maybe, but not required. The claims don't require that. What the claims specifically require is that the discrimination circuit be connected to the network interface, not in this particular order.
Not that it's receiving the signal from the network because of that. It just seems awfully odd to me that the claim would say, I will tell you that I'm in the same boat in this case I was in the last case, which is no way I would have interpreted this the way the board did. I'm just trying to figure out if their interpretation rises to the level of being unreasonable. That's where I am, just flat out. I'm just, it's wear everything on my sleeve day, I guess. But, so it's hard for me because you may not lose, but the whole spec, every time it does talk about incoming, it's talking about something coming from the network. And every time it talks about outgoing, the spec uses these words a lot, incoming and outgoing. Not necessarily incoming voice signals, but incoming and outgoing do seem to be this explaining the direction between the system in a way that's consistent with their interpretation. So I'm having a tough time.
I understand that, Your Honor. I suppose I would say two things with respect to that. First is, although the specification describes the flow of traffic in that manner, the claims don't specifically describe it in that manner. What, in our view, what Deep Green is attempting to do is attempting to import limitations from the specification into the claim, which is, of course, clearly impermissible. I guess
another thing they arguably are trying to do is translate and replace the word incoming with the word said. If the discrimination circuit limitation had referred to said voice signals, now we know that the voice signals being recited in the discrimination circuit are necessarily tethered to the previously referred to voice signals identified in the initial network interface limitation.
Judge Chen, and that
but
I think is...
It doesn't, so it creates a little ambiguity as to whether it could be. Maybe it still could be. Doesn't always have to use the word said in order to tether that relationship between the first and second usage of some term like voice signals. But they didn't say the word said.
Correct. They didn't, Your Honor, and they could have. It's the patentee who is in control of the language that they use for their claims. If Deep Green wanted to make clear that the signals that are incoming to the discrimination circuit were actually signals that were coming from the network interface, it could have said the digital data signals or said digital data signals, and it did not do that. So therefore, it's not required that a court construe the term incoming to mean incoming from the network. Even if, however, this court were to determine that Deep Green's construction of the term incoming is the correct one, and the board somehow failed to appreciate that, even still, however, there is substantial evidence in the record to support the board's finding of a motivation to combine the two prior art references, the Gernert and the AT&T reference. Even if Deep Green gets its way on claim construction, we believe this court is still should affirm the final written decision because of the significant substantial evidence. Both Gernert and AT&T deal with the same type of technology, networks involving multiple devices containing both voice signals and data signals, and routing voice signals and treating voice signals differently than other digital data signals. Gernert discusses an apparatus for interfacing a wireless local area network with a wide area cellular or public switch network. AT&T discloses an integrated residence gateway, intelligent services director that connects with a variety of devices, including phones, personal computers, analog and digital devices, and the like. Gernert, and Deep Green doesn't dispute this, Gernert discloses every limitation in Representative Claim 35, except they would argue not the discrimination circuit. Gernert does, however, disclose a discrimination function. Gernert explicitly discusses how voice packets are flagged with headers, indicating that they are voice packets. In Gernert, the network node examines those packets and treats voice packets differently than other data packets, and it does so for the purposes of quality of service issues and prioritization of voice over data. That is exactly what the AT&T references IRG, ISD circuitry does, and Deep Green does not argue in front of this court that AT&T does not disclose the discrimination circuit as found in its claims. So,
well, but the board found Gernert disclosed discrimination in the incoming direction. What if I don't think it does? What if I don't think there's any substantial evidence for that? Because honestly, your expert just said it was bidirectional. He didn't say it was bidirectional and discriminating in ingoing and outgoing capacity. So I honestly don't see any evidence for that particular finding.
I don't think this court needs to get that granular in in putting themselves in the position of what a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand when reading these two references.
Well, I mean, when you say get that granular, the board made a fact finding that Gernert discloses discrimination in the incoming direction, and it cited only your expert on the multiplexer disclosed in Gernert being bidirectional. But the problem is it doesn't, you know, a bidirectional signal is not equivalent to bidirectional discrimination. It's not the same thing. And they argue that, and it's just, it's not. I mean,
I understand that, Your Honor, but as Your Honor has pointed out, we are here on a substantial evidence standard. And Gernert clearly discloses bidirectionality with respect to the flow of traffic. It clearly discloses flagging voice packets and treating them differently than other data packets. It therefore clearly discloses at least the function of discrimination between voice and data.
But that's only in the context of outgoing signals in Gernert. It's never tied to incoming signals.
Given the presence of the multiplexer, demultiplexer, and our expert's testimony, and the board's determination.
But here you have, okay, see, there's just no question to me about what Gernert does and doesn't disclose. It discloses voice packets flagging and treating them differently for outgoing signals. It discloses bidirectional by virtue of the multiplexer and demultiplexer. But that's not the same as, that's bidirectional signals. That's not bidirectional discrimination. You're trying to get something out of Gernert that is absolutely not there.
And I believe that's why the board rejected our argument below that Gernert actually anticipates, because the board agreed with Your Honor that said that, well, Gernert doesn't quite go that far explicitly. But it does certainly disclose the functionality of discrimination, which, when viewed in light of the AT&T reference, which provides the actual circuitry to discriminate in what Deep Green would say is the incoming from the network direction. Someone who is trying to solve, a person of skill in the art who is trying to solve the problems of the patent in suit, which would be to, how do we deal with prioritizing voice signals over data signals? How do we treat them differently? How do we route them differently? These two references side by side are almost a perfect overlay. And given that they are in the same technology area, given that they both deal with high bandwidth environments, given that they both deal with heterogeneous environments, by which I mean a network that has phones and other non-voice devices, like a fax machine or a personal printer or the like, or a personal computer. A person of ordinary skill in the art, taking a look at these two references, there would find a motivation to combine these references to arrive at to
you
arrive
wouldn't
at
create a system to just prioritize phone calls in one direction. You would create a system, a telecommunication system, that would prioritize phone calls in both directions.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
You're saying that the board's opinion is concluding that when you look at these references, you want to prioritize phone calls over other data communications. And the most reasonable outcome would be to do that in both directions, not in just a single direction, as in both incoming and outgoing communications, not just one or the other.
I believe that's correct, and I believe that you could do it in both directions. To the extent that you would only want to do it in the incoming direction, which is what the claim says, incoming to the discrimination circuit, there is certainly ample disclosure and ample evidence in the record, further supported by Dr. Bim's testimony and the two Gernert and AT&T references, why a person of ordinary skill in the art would find that obvious, would use the circuitry of the AT&T reference and use it in combination with the Gernert reference.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Mr. DeFincenzo has some rebuttal time. 5 minutes or so.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I'd like to answer a question. You said if you if you thought the judgment below was reasonable, you would have to affirm the construction of
the
income.
Claim construction. If I thought the claim construction was reasonable.
Yeah. I don't believe that's the standard. I believe it's de novo on claim construction. So this is different than the last case.
No, this is the broadest reasonable construction.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying if you thought the... Okay. But reasonable construction must still be construed in light of the specification. The construction offered by the board didn't even analyze the specification. And counsel for UMA never suggested the construction was consistent with the specification. Here, when the specification repeatedly and consistently uses incoming in one manner, that's the most reasonable construction. And a construction that would allow an outgoing signal intended for the network to be an incoming signal cannot be reasonable. It is the opposite of the way the term is used in the specification. And we respectfully think that the specification informs the meaning of the term, and this court's precedent requires the specification to inform the meaning of the term. Now, on the substantial evidence point, with respect to incoming, the board only relied on Dr. Zavatsky's testimony and nothing else on page 24 of the decision. That finding, I don't believe you heard UMA's counsel argue that that testimony alone was sufficient to support a finding that Gerner teaches or suggests discrimination in both directions. As such, remand at a minimum is required. Now, with respect to the additional evidence, you heard a lot of discussion about pointing to things in Gerner. What you didn't hear was any expert testimony supporting that. The only expert testimony in the record is Dr. Zavatsky's statement that Gerner teaches communication in both directions, and Dr. Bim's conclusory six benefits of discrimination. Those benefits are not specific to the references, and they are insufficient to constitute substantial evidence. Therefore, we respectfully request reversal. Unless anyone has questions, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. Case is submitted.